2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. With that subscription, you get access to the 24/7 our Slack chat channel, the Domination Station, as well as VIP articles and tools. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 20% off each month of your subscription. I am your host, Al Walsh. Twitter is where you can find me, at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall there as well, at Boomers DFS Daddy. Nice little five-game slate for the people today. Gotta love these days. Get a nice little quick and easy transition out of here.
Yeah, it's nice today. It's a nice little easy, easier Friday. And then we've got 2 days next week where we've got, under three games, but but Wednesday and Friday we've got 11 piece, and that's rocking with a 9 on Monday.
All right, so
Tuesdays and Thursdays, it looks like, until obviously one of them in 2 weeks is Thanksgiving, so
all right.
So Thanksgiving week is going to be fun because we've got 11 on that Monday, 14 on that. Everybody plays on that, except for one team or two teams, on that Wednesday. Right. Only one game on that Tuesday.
Interesting.
So there will be no NBA DFS on Tuesday, the 21st. And then we come back from Thanksgiving on Black Friday and go 10, 10, 3, 8, 5, 10, 5.
Wow.
To round out the month. So, We'll get some time off for the pod. We'll get some time off for DFS. It's not bad, but not great. I think going into December is when they're going to start with this all new, improved schedule that they are, supposed to be running out there in all good facets to help alleviate the resting.
What else is new?
The resting. Oh, nothing really. So that's gonna be one of those things that got to work out for. So
fair enough. I don't mind taking a little breather here on a couple of these days, but obviously a lot of the subscribers and everything like that, I know as soon as the slate ends, we're already itching for the next one. So that should be we'll have to come up with some fun activities. Maybe we'll do like an early Easter egg hunt for the people or something like that.
I don't like Easter eggs.
Like, maybe everybody gets a coloring book.
There you go. Yeah?
Is coloring a sore subject for you too?
No. The Easter eggs.
Ah.
The Easter eggs are like, I love hard boiled eggs.
Ah, that's disgusting. Gotta go scrambled.
But I love scrambled eggs too. I love eggs.
Okay.
It's just one of those things like, you're sitting there and it's kind of one of those, the aftertaste is not fun when you're eating a hard-boiled yolk.
Gross. Right, that's why I stick to ice cream,
Yeah.
That's where it's at. All right, five games on tonight's slate, which is pretty awesome, but we do have no shortage of superstars on this slate, so we're going to have to navigate through and see who we're going to be able to fit in and see who's going to be left on the side of the road. Should be fun to figure this out, but let's just dig right in without further ado. We've got the Los Angeles Lakers at the Washington Wizards tonight. Wizards 9.5-point favorites in this one, and we've got a total here of 221.5. Lakers on the back end of a back-to-back. They were at Boston yesterday. No sort of scheduling snafu for the Wizards in this one, so that's awesome. Let's break it down with the Wizards here first in this one. Now, John Wall, who always drums up some sort of discussion, Lakers are allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards, and he has crushed the Lakers many of times throughout the course of his career. Just looking at it, I mean, consistently at the high 40s, right there in the 50s, even got a couple 60-point performances against the Lakers. However, that last performance against the Lakers was certainly not one that he would like to remember. Only 35.8 on DraftKings, slightly less on FanDuel there. And, of course, that came after Lonzo's father, LeVar, what an outstanding member of society he is. You know, kind of called out John Wall and said, oh, there ain't no way my son gonna lose another game this week. And he was right, but I think it was just more of an off day for Wall. Do you see Wall coming back here with a little bit of a vengeance tonight?
I mean, yeah, you could. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be out there to, you know. I mean, it's not out of the range of possibilities. It really, really honestly isn't. Mm-hmm. I like this spot better for him at home than I do, you know, kind of on the road. I still think that it's going to be interesting to see what they do with KCP, because that game last night, just once Jason Tatum got hurt last night, it threw the whole game out. Like, sure, everything that we, and you know, you can't predict injuries, so that happens. But everything that we wanted, it just was done. That allowed that they had to put Marcus Smart on other people. It allowed a lot of different things to kind of go the way that we didn't want them to, and it made it very, very, very bad if you did not have some Lakers in there. I'm not quite as down on the Lakers tonight as I was last night. Obviously, going up against the Wizards is a completely different scenario. But, you know, if KCP is going to be on John Wall for most of the game, then that's going to open things up for Bradley Beal again. But the problem is like, KCP was questionable going into last night's game. So we've got to kind of pay attention to see what they're going to do with him tonight. Are they going to play him on the back end of a back-to-back, you know, with travel? All right. You know, is this a 3-4 for the Lakers as well?
No, just back-to-back.
Okay, so I wonder. So they means they don't play tomorrow, so they're probably going to play on Saturday.
Yeah, they had 2 days off before last night's game in Boston.
Okay, so this is a back-to-back, a true back-to-back, and they probably play on Saturday. So this is the mid-end of a 3-4. You could give KCP, considering how well Jordan Clarkson played last night, you could give KCP another day off. If KCP's out, then, you know, that's going to open things up for John Wall as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say a slight look ahead. We don't have too many scheduling snafus today, so that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I think it's interesting too, because like even if KCP does play, I mean, Lonzo Ball hasn't been terrible on defense, you know, like he's a capable defender. Like he actually has been very good at blocking shots, which is pretty weird. I believe he had like 4 of them last night, if I'm not mistaken, but you know, he can play. Like, he's not just a, you know, an easy pushover. So I think, you know, if KCP does play tonight, you can probably see, you know, some switch matchups with, you know, Wall against Lonzo, Wall against KCP, Brad Beal against, you know, both of those guys as well. So, again, not a situation that I'm shying away from. Obviously, you know, you'd rather the Wizards here at home than on the road. But, again, this Wizards team, they are struggling right now. 3 straight losses for this team coming into tonight, and a lot of these are at home, right? So they lost to the Cavs, lost to the Mavs that last one. I forgot what they did in Toronto, I'm not sure. But remember, they lost that game to the Suns earlier. What was that, last week? So, yeah. I mean, look, these guys are really looking for a win right now. The Lakers are, again, we don't have too many scheduling snafus today, but the Lakers are on that short list of teams that do have one. So, yeah, I think that this could very well be a get-right spot for the Wizards. But, again, we're going to have to take a look at what else we have on the board. And I'm not ready to crown Wall as the guy yet, but he's certainly up on the list of options.
Yeah, he's got to be in the discussion.
Indeed. Yeah. As for the rest of this Wizards team, Brad Beal had a really good game against the Lakers in that earlier meeting. 45.5 on DK, 42.2 on FanDuel. He's certainly going to be in play tonight. Price, not that cheap, but we can get different. Actually, shooting guard is one spot where I really want to pay down to tonight if we're going to be foreboding anything here. And then another interesting number that I saw here, Marcin Gortat, a lot of great numbers against this Lakers team. He's a guy whose price has gone down significantly from what we've seen in years past. But great history here against the Lakers. In recent memory, he's got 6 games with at least 33 DraftKings points out of the last 8 against the Lakers. So, again, not a bad spot to be in at all.
Yeah, it's not a bad spot to be in for these Wizards tonight, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Another one thing I want to mention too, Otto Porter. He has never reached 30 fantasy points, DK or FanDuel, against the Lakers in his career. So of course tonight he'll go for about 54 on both sides. We've got that, and then anything with the Lakers here that interests you?
I think it's interesting as far as like Brook Lopez. I've got to look it up a little bit, but they're kind of underpriced. I mean, I don't mind Alonzo Ball either. Kyle Kuzma. I think they're all kind of in that realm. The problem is at least on DK, they're starting to get a little expensive. So if you're looking at the back end of a back-to-back and you're thinking that, you might want to try to get a little sneaky in tournaments, then I don't mind going back to Jordan Clarkson again. He played 27 minutes last night. He's played 20, 25, 21. He's going to play about 23 minutes on average a night, but he has the capability to come in and score 20 points off the bench. Like he's really adapted to that bench role, and him being off the bench and not putting up a ton of minutes is going to keep his price down low. Last night I had to have a very trusted, I call a secondary, tout. Okay. He's one of the guys that helps us a lot in our Slack channel. There's two guys like this, but he's one of them. Plays at the level that I wish I did as far as money, but I can't with the pod and with the DS stuff and
sure.
with a freaking 19-month-old, and not that I don't love KD, because I do, but he plays at the level that I played before I started touting, and he talked me onto Omri Caspi last night in a lineup, and it kind of helped save my
Lose.
Night. Yep. So I think Jordan Clarkson is one of those guys that could be one of those type of players tonight. I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, do I need to go to Julius Randle? He's had two great games. Well, Julius Randle is going to play 20 minutes. And Julius Randle, after last night, is going to be very popular. Julius Randle will also have to deal with the combination of Markieff Morris and Otto Porter. I don't like that for Julius Randle. Mainly because he commits stupid fouls.
Right. Well, I was all ready to bring up Kyle Kuzma, and not just because he had the worst game of his short NBA career last night, but I like that matchup against Markieff. I feel
for
like
Kuzma, yes.
He's just Markieff is just a lazy dude sometimes, and if you ever watch Wizards games a lot, remember the first game of the night more often than not, but you've seen power forwards do pretty well against the Wizards in the past. I could certainly get down with Kuzma tonight. He's probably going to play another healthy dose of minutes. He's played at least 34 in each of the last 3 games. Again, I just think that this is probably the best spot to attack the Wizards right now. So I'm definitely going to be on Kuzma. I wish the price would come down a little bit, but nonetheless, I think people are probably going to hop off him. Lakers back in a back-to-back. You know, they saw him stink last night. Just, you know, we're all I shouldn't say we're all, but most of us are all creatures of, you know, just what we've seen recently. And I feel like a lot of people are going to be off.
And like I said, I don't like that matchup for Julius Randle. I love it for Kuzma. Kuzma's a little bit more athletic than Randle is, and is more of a slasher stretch 3-4 type player, where Julius Randle's more of a 4-5. So he's more apt to kind of bang down low with Gortat and Markieff Morris. It's just kind of one of those things. Like, I'll pay up for Kuzma to be contrarian, especially after a dud last night. We've talked about it before. I mean, bounce back spots are real, and I think this is a great one for Kuzma. But I think they're two different players, so I have to you kind of have to evaluate them a little bit differently.
Got you.
So all right, that was my whole thinking on that one.
Fair enough. All right, let's move it along up to our brothers at the North, where we've got the New Orleans Pelicans at the Toronto Raptors. Raptors 5-point favorites in this one tonight. We've also got a total of 216.5 here. For the Pelicans, same injury list as always: Rondo Hill, Ejinsa, Asik. For the Raptors, nothing really worth mentioning that affects the rotation, but the Raptors do have 2 full days off after tonight's game. So keep that in mind. When we're looking at this game, I guess we got to go directly to the Twin Towers of NOLA. Attacking Toronto down low has actually been the most successful method early on this season. So you've got Boogie, you got AD, the only two players in the NBA right now averaging over 25 points and over 10 rebounds per game this season. I know you're a big proponent of, you know, stacking both of these guys in one lineup. Can you do it tonight?
Sure.
Well, given what else is on the slate.
Yeah. Because, again, I go back to it. You know, it's one of those things. If you're looking at, you know, not only an individual's ownership percentage, but a combined ownership percentage, then you've got the ability to get creative here. And that's one of the things I love about it. You know, putting both of these bigs in the same lineup is something that it's been advantageous, and it's been profitable. You know, and this is what I would think is going to be probably a pretty close game. Right now, let's see here, the juice is on the over, so I'm thinking, you know, it could push the 220 mark possibly. It's just, you know, if you sit there and let's see here, we're going to lock in AD. You know, there's not a lot more to love at the power forward position. There is, the center's kind of deep, but you lock in Cousins, you press optimize in the DS, and guess what? You can still put in, you know, guys like Russell Westbrook, and it's just, there's enough value out there today to make it happen.
Gotcha. Jrue Holiday going to be interesting here, too. You talk about the juice on the over. However, Toronto allowing the 9th fewest fantasy points per game to opposing point guards. I do like the price here on Holiday, though. I'm gonna, you know, not try to pay too much attention to that DVP thing. Again, it's not even that bad. They're slightly below league average at that point. But, they're slightly better than league average defending opposing point guards. But, again, with Holiday, the price has come down a lot. 63 on DraftKings, 65 on FanDuel. Are you very intrigued or a little?
I'm very intrigued, but not as a 3-stack.
Okay.
I'd rather do it with him and Boogie, or him and AD, or Boogie and AD. Like, I don't want all three of them in my lineup tonight, just because I really like what point guard has to offer, and I really like what center has to offer. So if you probably make me choose, I would rather him paired up with AD and then pay down a little bit more at center and then go from there.
Okay.
At least on FanDuel.
We're looking at the Pelicans. Any, I mean, there's really not much to like. Jameer Nelson, Etuan Moore have
Nah.
all had the sun shine on their ass every now and again, but not happening today, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about that. And like guys like, I mean, unfortunately, guys that are really, really good, like Pascal Siakam.
Well, I mean, we could go with that. I like that
Yeah,
nickname a
I
lot.
know, actually. That's
Sky
good.
Cam!
And Lucas Nogueira, I mean, they're relatively useless right now, unfortunately. Jonas is probably only going to play about 22 minutes, and those two are going to split the other, 24 minutes. So it's not really a lot of fun to kind of play around with this Toronto team other than Serge Ibaka and DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, where you know your minutes are going to get. Norman Powell's hit and miss. Him and CJ Miles are going to split some duties. Dellen Wright's going to get in there and split some duties. Fred Van Fleet's going to get in there and kind of spell, Kyle Lowry every once in a while. So.
You know how many times you said duties in one sentence?
Probably a
Very,
lot.
very, very tough to keep a straight face.
Right, Chandler.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas is interesting. I mean, it feels like the Raptors are going to need more from him tonight to deal with AD and Boogie. He did play 24 minutes in that last game against the Bulls, 21 points, 10 rebounds. Apparently, he's a bull killer. I've always known him as a net killer, but that's neither here nor there. Any chance we could see more than 24 minutes tonight? I mean, there was a point in that game against the Bulls where the Raptors were up pretty big, or I'm sorry. Yeah, where the Raptors were up pretty big, and then, they just didn't need Valanciunas for a while, but
I
I
don't
mean,
think they
I
need Valanciunas ever to play more than that, though. I mean, you gotta, since he's come back from injury, he hasn't played more than 24 minutes.
Right.
I mean,
Man did say he played his most 24,
I know, but I
right?
mean, 13, 20, 18, 20, they just don't need him to do it, even in good matchups.
Well, I feel like tonight is a night that they're gonna need him to play
Well, you would
slightly
have
more
thought that
minutes.
against freaking Utah too. When Rudy
Game
Gobert.
that they did very well in.
Yeah, but I mean he did well for I mean he still put up over a fantasy point a minute. I just don't know if I can do it with the talent that's at the center position today.
Fair enough, fair enough. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, both very interesting here. I mean, if you are gonna attack Nola, that you should be doing it in the backcourt. However, it's interesting. Again, this is also where, we talk about the DVP, where sometimes you can manipulate it to a place where you want, but this is a spot that I don't think it's necessarily all telling. But New Orleans allowing the sixth fewest fantasy points per game to opposing point guards this season, it's actually the second fewest on the slate that they're allowing. But again, I don't believe that to be true here early on this season. I feel like that's a spot that you can attack Nola. Kyle Lowry only 7,000 on DK, 75 on FanDuel. Not the greatest price, but I think, again, if this is going to be a close game, competitive through and through, that's how I like my Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry.
I mean, I like him better than DeMar DeRozan, and we
Could
don't
you
really.
see a ping pong situation? Holiday, Lowry?
Yeah, I think for tournaments, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Back it up with, Boogie or AD coming back as well.
Sure, back that ass up.
But it's that's definitely a way to kind of get a little bit different in tournaments. But if you're doing that, you're fading Russell Westbrook in Denver. You're fading, you know, John Wall. You're fading Lonzo Ball. You're fading all these good point guards that can put up a lot of points as well. But you're getting a combined ownership that I feel is probably going to be, at least at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, is probably going to be pretty low.
Sure, sure. All right, let's get to another one in Houston. This game's pretty interesting. We've got the Cavs at the Rockets. Rockets 5-point favorites here with a total of 232. Teams have split the last four meetings. Three of the last four Cleveland-Houston games have surprisingly gone under the total. Here's an interesting number two here for the Cavs, who are 4-15 against the spread in their last 19 road games against Western Conference teams. That's gross. Let's talk about some injuries here for the Cavs. We've got Derrick Rose, who got listed out. Probably when we heard that news today, not too long ago. Tristan Thompson still out with a calf injury. Luke Mabamude, questionable for the Rockets with a knee injury. And Chris Paul still out with knee injury as well. Interesting to note here for the Rockets, too. They've had three full days off before tonight's game. Last game, of course. This is a great way, great segue here into James Harden, but just absolutely had the game of the season so far. Posting upwards of 70 fantasy points in that one. Now Harden, we haven't seen Paul too much at all this season, but Harden's 35.5 usage rate is amazing. You've got a Cleveland team that's allowing more fantasy points per game than any other team on this slate. Harden. Last season against Cleveland was amazing. 75.5 on DK, 66.5 in the first meeting. Actually, I'm sorry, that was the second meeting. And then the first meeting, 77.8 on DK, 72.9 on FanDuel. The guy's just simply amazing. And, you know, how NBA DFS was it of James Harden to have his best game of the season on a Sunday when nobody was paying attention? Against the Jazz, nonetheless.
Yeah, I think that everybody knows about that now.
Yeah. But, again, this is a Cleveland team. And, look, there's all sorts of fancy numbers out there about they're allowing the most points per possession when a point guard drives to the hole and, spot-up shooters and this and that, blah, blah, blah. Look, Cleveland's just not good on defense right now. It's very simple to point that out. So, again, with all the talent on this slate, where do you place Harden in terms of one to five? One being the best, of course.
I think he's a 1B.
1B, okay.
1B. And that's just because I think LeBron James, with all these injuries and everybody out, is a 1A.
Okay.
If you think you're going to get creative by locking LeBron and Harden in the same lineup, you're vastly mistaken.
Vastly, my friends.
It's not going to be an unpopular combo. The creative way to go about this tonight would be to fade LeBron and Harden.
And hope for the blowout.
Just hope they just are somewhat human. And then you play AD, Russell Westbrook, and Boogie and hope that they all three outmatch those. Basically, what's going to happen tonight is it's going to be jam three studs in and figure out the rest.
You know.
And it's going to be basically, can your three studs outscore my three studs? A fair and balanced lineup is going to be a very, very, very unpopular way to go tonight. It's going to be very contrarian. I think you're going to find a lot of guys in the mid-tier a little bit lower owned than what they probably should be on a five-game slate. Because you do have some value that's out there. So.
Okay. Adding on to LeBron here, he has exceeded salary-based expectations at his current price in 7 of 11 games this season. That includes hitting that mark in 3 of his last 4 games. One thing to mention, though, LeBron has not reached 50 fantasy points on DraftKings or FanDuel in his last 3 meetings against the Rockets.
Yeah, but he hasn't been the sole ball handler either.
Hey, I will not manipulate the stats to fit your agenda, my friend, all right? I read them as they are.
I understand that, but you have to take that with a grain of salt is what I'm saying.
Indeed, indeed. Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, I already talked about spot-up shooters against the Cavs this season have just been phenomenal. I got all three of those guys firmly in play tonight. Love the price on all of them, too.
Who?
Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson.
Who?
Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson.
I know what you said. You're just falling into it. That's what I'm saying is no.
Yeah.
Maybe Eric Gordon.
Okay.
I'm not. Trevor Ariza's sole job tonight is to slow down LeBron as much as possible.
See, if Maba Mute is going to be in the lineup,
I'm assuming that he's out right now.
Okay.
I'm just going like he's not listed as in. He's questionable, so I'm assuming he's out.
Okay.
Makes sense. But you're right. If Luke Richard and Mbah Mute is out or is in, then, you know, now you can throw in a Trevor Ariza. I don't play Ryan Anderson at home. Why? We've been down this road. It's been torture. It's never worked out. Why are you going to do it?
You should not. That's misleading that it's never worked out. I mean, this – and again, all right, so then if Ariza's out, then I like Anderson – or I'm sorry, if Mbah Mute is out, then I would like Anderson more. I mean
– I actually would go to Clint Capella.
Okay. Now, however, this season it has not worked out yet for Ryan Anderson, but at home. But, I mean, how many people know this narrative, right? There's plenty of people out there that know the narrative, and I think
– And they still don't listen to it.
The initial thought is to not play Anderson at home. So why not do it?
Because he still Perfect sucks. Time.
Yeah, but again, you got to look matchups and all sorts of other things. Like, what, like he just doesn't like the people in Houston
He's
in the background of his hoop?
He's never shot well in Houston. No. Even going back to his days in New Orleans, he's never shot well in Houston. That was why it was such a conundrum on why he signed with them. Well, besides the fact that he probably offered him the most money, but that's not the point. We said this before his first game. I don't know. I'm just I don't think that I need to go there on any part of it. I mean, you've got Paul Millsap going against Carmelo, you got Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, you can go to Kyle Kuzma, Zebo's in a good match. I mean, you've got all these guys. I don't think I need to go to a $4,300 Ryan Anderson where I know that he doesn't typically have success. I could even save a couple hundred dollars, go down to Jeremy Grant. Or even with Tristan Thompson out, Jay Crowder is going to play more minutes. I can go down to him against Ryan Anderson defense.
Jay Crowder is going to play more minutes than Ryan Anderson?
No, I never said that. Okay. I said with Tristan Thompson out, I can go down to Jay Crowder for $300
less.
Oh,
he's going to play more minutes. Gotcha. Exactly. I see what you're saying. One guy that I do – now that was all I had for the Houston angle on things. One guy that I really like tonight, J.R. Smith, $3,700 on DraftKings, $3,900 on FanDuel. He's played at least – 33 minutes in three of his last four games. Again, going to need to be taking a ton of shots tonight. So I can get down with this player a lot.
Okay.
I mean, he had his best game of the season last time out against the Bucks. Just, again, I really like the matchup. He's going to have to take a lot of shots. So I'm with it.
Okay.
No smart-ass remark? No?
No, not on this one.
Fair enough. Kevin Love, interesting here today, too. Now, it was crazy because we talked about Love last game, and, you know, he's getting out of the hospital, not going to do it. Well, he did it all right. What made it even more tilting was that his two games prior to the last one were just downright awful. Any interest in the K-Man tonight?
Not if he's going to be highly owned.
Okay. I was going to say 74 on DK, 73 on FD.
I don't think people are going to care what price he is. I think people are going to chase.
Well, I mean, it kind of does matter, right?
Well, like, I know it matters. I know it matters, but what I'm saying is I think people are going to chase, like,
the last game.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying I don't think it matters.
My angle was that, like, that price is kind of in no man's land. And, again, we know all the talent that we have on today's slate. Would people go that route? Or is it just going to be pay all the way up for studs and then pay down to get some cheap-ass mofos? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. But we shall see later on.
It makes it a little bit better on FanDuel because the fact that he's listed as a center.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, just in looking at the rest of this Cleveland roster, I know you mentioned Jay Crowder. That's an interesting player. Dwayne Wade, Jeff Green, any interest there?
You would think that Jeff Green's going to be they're going to put Jeff Green on some Harden for a while, right? You would think Jeff Green's going to guard Harden for a little while? At least to try to slow him down a little bit?
Somewhat. I can see more Shumpert.
Well, I think they're going to rotate the three. I think it's going to be J.R. Smith, Shumpert, and Jeff Green. They're all – well, okay. Shumpert and Jeff Green are, you know, above-average defenders. Now, when you're talking about – you know, and if you want to make a case for fading Harden because of the perceived – high ownership, the projected high ownership, because of the way that he's, you know, kind of done Cleveland in the past, because he's coming off a 70-point fantasy outing, you know, this would be where you would turn on the reasoning why. Now, do I think it ends well? You have about a 5% chance that, you know, it ends in your favor to where fading Harden completely is going to allow you to profit tremendously without nailing a lot of other positions. Because I think that Harden, out of everybody, I think Harden has the ability to go for 65-70, you know, second only to LeBron James.
Gotcha. All right. We're already heading out to the West Coast, probably the earliest that we've done so on this podcast. But we've got the Philadelphia 76ers, Ben Franklin's favorite team, taking on the Sacramento Kings. Sixers, 6.5-point favorites currently, 205.5 on the total for this one. Philly has covered their last four games against the Sacramento Kings.
76ers?
Yep.
You said Phillies.
So what? So what if I did? So what if I'm ready for baseball season? You got what? Huh? That's right. No real injury news that's going to affect anything for either team tonight. So let's just dig right in. I think, you know, we've heard a lot of talk about Ben Simmons today, you know, instead of Joel Embiid or anybody else so far from the Sixers. What are your thoughts on Simmons? And, you know, are you dying to fit him in, or is he just more of a, you know, more of a fun piece to have?
He is proven that, or he is yet to prove that he has matchup downside. That didn't make sense. He is yet to prove that we have to avoid him in tough matchups. We thought that that was going to be a tougher matchup against Utah, and he pretty much just went about his business just like normal. It was great because I think he was like under 3% owned on the main slate that day, and it was awesome to just sit there and just watch Ben Simmons rocket me up a leaderboard. I mean, not that Sacramento is a bad matchup. I just think that if people aren't paying for Anthony Davis, they're paying for Ben Simmons. And I have no problems with that. There's not one thing I've seen in this kid's game so far that I can criticize. He does his best to get everybody involved, and, you know, say what you want about the old Philadelphia 76ers. These guys are good. Like, yeah. they're not great. They're not elite level yet, but they're good. They're gonna compete for a back end playoff spot in the East.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, look, you look at their roster, and you know, they just have a lot of different pieces that are certainly that work, you know. And even when you got a guy like Embiid out, you got another guy like Dario Saric who steps in and plays a massive, huge role. I mean, winning in Utah, that was a big deal. You know, I know that the Jazz lost Gordon Hayward, you know, and that's kind of a big piece to lose on a team. But, you know, Jazz team still a very, you know, they're going to be a playoff team still in the West. It's just, man, that's an impressive win for a Sixers team who, over the last couple of years, we've just been doing nothing but laughing at. But, yeah, I mean, when they have Simmons and Embiid on the court at the same time, that is certainly a deadly combo. Don't mind that at all. Now, speaking of Embiid, I've seen conflicting reports. He is playing tonight, right?
As far as I know. Didn't they sit him the other night?
I saw an article that said, I wasn't sure if he was traveling or he was still in Camden or something like that at the training facility, but let's just go on the assumption that he's playing so we don't confuse anybody.
He went through physical therapy and individual court work at the 76ers practice. This was on November 8th, so this was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Wednesday at the 76ers individual practice facility rather than practicing with the rest of the team in Sacramento.
Embiid
is scheduled to join the team later Wednesday, however, so it seems likely he'll play Thursday against the Kings.
Okay. All right, that works. Fair enough. With that being said, Sacramento allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing centers this season. I mean, I would assume most of that is from that game where DeMarcus Cousins went bananas against them. But even so, there's nobody on that matchup that Embiid can't handle. So I'm not worried about that. One guy I really like. Now, I already mentioned my love for J.R. Smith tonight, but I also like another fella, and he comes to us from the Philadelphia 76ers, J.J. Redick, shooting guards against Sacramento. Always been a profitable endeavor. When we look at Redick, he's actually, you know, we weren't sure at the beginning of the season how he was actually going to fit in with the Sixers team. He's done pretty damn well. He's actually got 51 real points combined over the last two games. So if we're looking at salary-based expectations, Redick has passed expectations on points alone, which is absolutely fascinating. You going to this spot tonight?
Probably a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's so weird because, like, the Sixers don't play a traditional, you know, 1-2-3-4-5 because Ben Simmons runs the offense from the four. Like we said, he's not poor anymore. He's, you know, a discounted Giannis Antetokounmpo. But, I mean, you also had T.J. McConnell that's running out there as well. And I was one to say it first here on the pod, and we've been screaming it every single time. And I'm glad that you're on board as well. T.J. McConnell and J.J. Redick do not hurt each other. Yeah, you know, McConnell's had a couple – and he looks so dapper, too, in his FanDuel picture, by the way. you know, he's going to play 26 to 30 minutes. And, you know, he's had a couple games with a couple – bad stretches. He just hasn't shot the ball well over the last couple games. You know, I don't think he took a lot of shots over the last couple games. I think it was just kind of, you know, him more distributing when he was running the offense, and he didn't need to. I mean, you were talking about a guy that was going up against probably a little bit of Victor Oladipo and Darren Collison. Two capable defenders, and then, you know, Ben Simmons and who was the other guy that went bananas for the 76ers against Utah?
Saric.
You know, we're handling a lot of the shot-taking duties. Okay. So you're telling me that I'm going to get T.J. McConnell because everybody's worried about everybody else? I mean, T.J. McConnell play some of the two. JJ will play some of the two. This is my favorite game for value. I mean, Nick Stauskas signed with the 76ers in the offseason to come be, you know, that three-point marksman off the bench. He's absolutely irrelevant. You know, there's another guy I like on the other side of the ball that is, I think, is a great, you know, tournament source of value. There's two guys. I mean, this is my favorite game for value tonight. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about Robert Covington.
No, we haven't.
And honestly, we haven't even talked about Joel Embiid as far as actually being viable tonight, whether or not he is.
Yeah, you know my stance on Embiid. I understand he's posted some serious games lately, but that minutes restriction just that kills me.
But it's up to 30. He's going to play 28 to 30 minutes, and like if you're going to tell me that he's the discount from a Boogie and going to get me 40 almost locked minimum with an upside of 60 in 30 minutes. Now, granted, it was against Atlanta, but I mean, are you telling me that Willie Cauley-Stein is a better matchup? John Calipari would probably disagree with me, but are you telling me that Willie Cauley-Stein is a better matchup than Dwayne Dedmon? I mean, to me, they're in the same conversation. The least amount of points he's put up in 30 minutes has been against Dallas, and that was because he had 7 freaking turnovers.
Yeah, I'm trying to see it because look at the matchups here. So Atlanta is the one where he really goes bananas, and then Houston, Indiana.
He put up 38 against Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the dude's as consistent as I've seen a center in a while. I don't think he has the consistent tournament upside. I love him for cash games, but I don't think he's going to be highly owned at 9,600 either.
No, certainly not. My goodness. Yeah. Oh, my. 9,600. How do you like them apples?
Especially because you're going to have you have Jokic coming off a huge game. You've still got Boogie above him. You can go down. You can go get Kevin Love, or you can go get Clint Capella. I mean, he's just kind of stuck right there in the middle, and I don't think that because everybody's so worried about the minutes restriction, you know.
Right.
And possibly even – you got to add into that even now the conflicting reports on whether or not he's even with the team right now.
I think he, like, you know, based on what you said from that, because that article that you – that's the one that I saw the headline from. I didn't dive into it and read it at all, but – I would assume he's with the team. I was just being a skeptical person that I usually am. So, yeah, I think that's all good and dandy. All right, so a lot of good plays there from the Sixers. What about the Sacramento team? So I talked about this before the last game. I'm sorry, not the last game, but this was actually on Saturday I talked about it. But it kind of came to prove true in that last game against the OKC Thunder. But Zach Randolph, right? So he's been doing pretty well here. His last 5 games, he's posted at least 25 FanDuel points. Pretty good. That's value right there. But what I've noticed the Kings doing a lot is putting Z-Bo out there against, like, these massive centers in the paint. So we've seen it, like, Z-Bo going up against Steven Adams or Andre Drummond of the Pistons.
Now, I warned everybody about Z-Bo against the Thunder the other night.
You warned him to not play him?
No, I said Z-Bo is in play against the Thunder.
Okay. But anyway, but this, again, what I've noticed with Sacramento doing is just putting him up there against, you know, these physically imposing beasts in the paint. So, of course, with Embiid here tonight, I think, you know, obviously Randolph going to be in play, the same situation. Any interest there?
I mean, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it. And we've seen that, you know, Joel Embiid is not this intimidating defender.
Here's the awkward thing, though, right? Because usually DraftKings is where we get the savings. He's 52 on DK, only 47 on FanDuel. And again, if we're going stars and scrubs, we need some sort of salary relief.
Yeah. I like Zebo, and I'm not afraid of Joel Embiid defense by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just wondering who's got kind of the better upside, Serge Ibaka or Zach Randolph, because they're right there kind of in the same price range. That's just kind of something I was looking at. Right now Zebo's in my cash game lineup. Because he's going to play more minutes than Julius Randle, barring a Kyle Kuzma injury. Okay. I like the fact that he contributes more in the secondary stats than, you know, Ryan Anderson. Dario Saric is kind of here. Here's the question. Here's my question. Okay.
All right.
Because we haven't talked about this game yet or this guy yet, but Zach Randolph or Jeremy Grant?
Oh, Zach Randolph for sure.
Why? Yeah. Because they're going to play about the same amount of minutes.
Well, I know that Ziba will have a more meaningful role again going up against Embiid.
But do you know what Jeremy Grant does outside of... I mean, he basically... And we'll talk about it even more in depth, but he's basically the 4-5 combo for that second unit.
Right.
You know, when Steven Adams comes out, they'll put him in and slide Melo down to the five. They're going to play about the same amount of stats or same amount of minutes, and he'll contribute more in the secondary stats. I think Zebo scores more. Okay. Zebo's more involved in the offense. So, okay, I can see exactly where you're saying that. But you got to think, Jeremy Grant's $600 cheaper.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So if you need it, that would kind of be where the pivot might be.
It's a good point. I mean, I know you had it took you a while to come around on your own boy, Jeremy Grant. So I just want to make sure we're not hopping on the hot trend right now.
No. That's just because, like, I didn't think that he was playing. Like, he was still playing minutes in garbage time, and sure, he wasn't playing a lot of meaningful minutes. But he started to earn the trust of Billy Donovan. And now he's playing meaningful minutes, and he could still possibly get some garbage time minutes as well.
Okay. Hey, I'm just not making like sure you're making
blowing,
sure, right?
Yeah, not like the Thunder are blowing anybody out anytime soon right now, the way they're playing, but still.
Another interesting way to go here, we got a matchup of two good rookies here tonight. Ben Simmons on one, and then De'Aaron Fox here tonight for the Kings. Any interest there?
I think De'Aaron Fox is kind of the flavor of the week.
Okay.
And I would much rather pay the same price for TJ McConnell.
All right. Fair enough. And then the other thing, I'll lead this trio of names off with your boy, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, Garrett Temple, Bogdan Bogdanovic.
This is where I think you can attack in tournaments.
Okay, so Philly right now is allowing the second most fantasy points per game to opposing shooting guards this season. But we do know that J.J. Redick, a pain in the ass, mans that position. Again, another one where I'm going to be skeptical of the numbers, but...
Yeah, because him and T.J. McConnell, they'll switch off in the backcourt, you know. So some of those numbers are coming against Redick, but some of them are coming against T.J. McConnell. So, and, you know... A TLC, you know, and a Jared Bayless who was playing, you know, a lot.
He gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Jacob, they're not. So you've got basically a two guard rotation. If they're gonna, when they switch it up, or three guard rotation, I'm sorry, for the Sixers, when they switch it up, they usually bring somebody in that's bigger, and they kind of move people around. Since Ben Simmons can play a lot of the one as well, but this is where I have some interest maybe in a Garrett Temple, because a savvier veteran that knows how to get to the free throw line, and you know, he's he played 30 minutes against Oklahoma City. Now, he didn't do a lot, but he did stuff when it counted. We've seen him get a high point of 25. You know, we've seen Bogdanovich get a high point of, 30. But Buddy Hield has the most upside if he plays the minutes. And that's just the thing. His minutes have been... And I go back to the Phoenix game. He's the reason why the Sacramento Kings were back into that Phoenix game. And then he came out like the, I think it was the 3 minute mark of the fourth or the third quarter and didn't play the rest of the game. Like it baffled my mind. So he could play anywhere between 20 or 19 to 27 minutes. If he gets you 27 minutes, this is where I want to go because he's got 35 point upside with 27 minutes.
Okay.
At 4,700. But, I mean, I could see if you can't fit Buddy Hield in, going with a Garrett Temple. But that's the ranking. You go, it's Hield, Temple, Bogdanovich.
Okay. What about you? That's all I got for the Kings on this one, but not a bad way to go. All right, let's start
getting... No, hold on. Because I've got another guy.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to read this one.
Can't wait to read it? Oh, I mean...
Hear it, whatever.
Never mind. Not at 4,900. See, I thought he was right. Cheaper. I'm sorry. I thought he was cheaper.
We're moving on to the Rocky Mountains of Denver, where Keith's OKC Thunder invade the territory as they... This whole game started as a pick 'em here, but OKC now 1.5 point favorites. We got a total of 216 on this one. Interesting number here. OKC 7-1 straight up against Denver in their last 8 meetings, covering 8 of those times. For OKC, they are on the front end of a back to back. They'll be at home tomorrow to face on Blake Griffin and the Clippers. And for Denver, only news here: Juancho Hernangómez still out with that illness. He's probably in quarantine somewhere because that's disgusting. All right, Russell Westbrook, always the hot topic of conversation here. Denver allowing the 9th most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards. That is the 3rd most on this slate. However, Westbrook has only exceeded salary-based expectations at his current price, 10-2 on DK, 10-5 on FanDuel, 3 times on DK and only once on FanDuel this season. All right, lead us into the temptation, but not into evil, Keith. What are we doing with Westbrook here tonight?
I mean, I think he's playable. Always. He's got, star-studded upside. But, it's one of those things. Like, you remember after the decision in LeBron James, do you remember what the record was of the Miami Heat the first 20 games or so, like right up to about Christmas? With Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron.
I know they started out 9-8 in their first 17.
Yeah, they were actually under 500 their first 20 games.
Really?
And I said it.
I thought 9-8 was the cutoff.
Nah, then the stat I heard was wrong. I'll have to go back and look. But we knew that this was going to – and, look, Paul George and Melo and Russ, they've all talked about it, as they said that it was going to be a learning curve. The Thunder right now, the ball isn't moving around when all three are on the court. They lead the league in ISO plays. They lead the league in ISO shots taken. It's just kind of one of those things that, it's going to take some time. I think
that's the one thing that people don't have is time, right?
Oh, I know, right? It's, things were supposed to be done yesterday.
Right.
It's just kind of one of those things that you have to realize. They're all playable. They're all good plays. Trying to pick what night, but they're all fadeable too. Mm. And Russ and Denver are always interesting. Now, the thing is Russ better not – if Russ can stop getting flagrant fouls called against him, which it was a flagrant, and then it was taken down. Or if the Thunder can stop getting offensive flagrant fouls called against them, then I think they'll be all right. But, I mean, it's just...
Now, if we do go into... If Russell can get himself to beast mode Russ once again, that would be fantastic. Because last season, again, albeit in a much different situation.
Yes.
Here were Russ's numbers from the first three games against the Nuggets last season. Okay, first three. I'm not going to count that fourth one because he only played 18 minutes. So that doesn't count.
I think he got tossed.
And he still did pretty well in that game, even though. But, all right, so the first game. Plays 41 minutes, and it's 36 points, 11 rebounds, 17 assists. Second game, 35 minutes, 32 points, 17 rebounds, 11 assists. Third game, plays 37 minutes, 50 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. These are the numbers that we would obviously like to see from Russell Westbrook. Again, much different scenario from last season, but he's certainly capable of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely is.
And I'm sorry here, too. I wanted to – even the year before with Cupcake, he still posted pretty big numbers, so it's certainly doable. Yeah, aside from that last game against Denver where he may or may not have gotten tossed, whatever.
No, he did.
All right, so he did. So aside from that game, four straight triple-doubles against the Nuggets.
Yeah, he absolutely just kills Denver. He always has in his career, even with Cupcake and, you know, whatever he's had around him, he's always killed Denver. Now, Denver's always been a really good matchup for point guards, too, so you have to take that in consideration, but it's not like it got any worse. I mean, it's still a good matchup. I mean, this Denver team did not get a ton better defensively. They just got a lot better offensively. They got a lot more offensively efficient. I've got a hot take in this one, and it's not going
to
be.
Oh, we'd love to hear it, Keith.
You know, you can play any of these guys. You know, the four that we normally talk about for the Thunder are all in play. You can also sit there and go and play Jeremy Grant, and he's in play, in my opinion. You know, if I think he's a really good play at 4,100. He's definitely in play. He's basically relegated Patrick Patterson to about 15 minutes. And if you remember, Patty Pat was one of our big offseason signings. Now,
Project Pat,
he's coming back off of an injury. So, you know, our power forward position, our front court is loaded now. It's not nearly the sieve that it used to be. But I think Steven Adams is in play. I think they're all in play. I don't want to go crazy with them, but, you know, sprinkled throughout lineups. I think they're all fadeable as well. Nobody that you have to have. My hot take here, though, is that I think the Denver Nuggets are completely fadeable.
Okay.
I think they're 100% fadeable tonight.
Well, here's the thing, right? The thing with the Nuggets, we always say all the time, the only two guys that really have upside are Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap. Everybody else is very like cash game viable. You know, like they get to their 5x value, if that, and then they're pretty much done. Will Barton, I like in blowout situations, and I don't think we'll even come close to seeing that tonight. I mean, Gary Harris is a guy that can sometimes get down.
Doesn't this feel like this could be an Oklahoma City troll you game? Like, they just come off of a bad loss against Sacramento.
Right.
They haven't blown a lot of people out. You know, Denver, well, this is basically a pick 'em.
Did you see this? I'm sure you probably know it without even knowing it, but they haven't won a game against the Western Conference team yet this season.
Oh, trust me, I'm well aware. That's all that anybody is talking about down here. You know, if they were in the East, they would be undefeated. But here in the West, we suck. No, guys, we don't suck. Give it some time.
No,
these guys are all learning how to replay basketball with other options other than being the alpha. Like, they're all betas now.
Your favorite radio host, one Colin Cowherd, the other day was talking the day after the OKC game, basically saying that Russ, in order for OKC to be successful during this transition period, is, you know, Russ has to go back to his ways of last year, which was kind of funny because that's what he always crucified him on. But again, just given the numbers, given how OKC is struggling. Yeah, I could not only this being an OKC troll game, but definitely a Russ troll game.
I can see where he's going with that. But the only problem is you're not going to win a championship with Russ playing like that with these other guys on the court.
Right.
And that's what the ultimate goal is. Nobody cares right now what their record is in November and December. Like, if they're hovering around 500 come New Year, but they're like they've started to figure things out and they're playing a lot better. It's just like things haven't really clicked or whatever, or they're just a couple games above 500, and they make a stretch run and they all of a sudden push for a top four seed, or a top three seed, or even a top two seed. You know, they're in if they are in the conversation with San Antonio, Houston, and Golden State, and those are your top four seeds. I mean, granted, Golden State is still going to be the favorites, but that's where they want to be. Is they want to be that top, one of those top four seeds in the position to where they can take down one of these guys. That's all they're going for. So nobody really cares about what they do in November, December, as far as a team record wise. So that's where I would disagree with Cowherd on that. But I can see where he's going with it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Anything else left from this game? I'm all out of takes.
Don't play Nikola Jokic.
Don't
play Nikola Jokic. Steven Adams is going to. Yeah. Don't play Nikola Jokic.
I was about to say any specific reason. I know it, but the people would like to know.
Oh, course. Steven Adams is a very, very, very capable defender and a very good one. And I'm sorry. Nikola Jokic, his best chance tonight is he needs to play more on the perimeter. I don't see that happening with Steven Adams running out there for 35 minutes. So.
Yep. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you're Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, all the main podcast corporations out there, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also rate and comment on the pod what you like, what you dislike. It's okay, we can take it, we're fine. But and also, if you're not a member with the DFS Army, go check out the website, dfsarmy.com. If you like what you see there, you want to sign up, use the promo code podcast, 20% off each month of your subscription. You will get access to our domination station, which is a truly one of a kind optimizer out there, and you can make up to 150 lineups within one click. Also with that, you get access to the Slack chat channel that we have open 24/7 for business. Somebody always in there. And of course, VIP articles and tools. Be sure to look out for everything out for NFL this season. The Geek has his podcast out, if I'm not mistaken, with the Vegas lines and all sorts of great articles from Donuts Chop and the rest of our NFL staff here, so definitely check that out. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.